Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Pellegrini Financial and IPC Investment Corporation fourth quarter conference call, Market Sustainable or Susceptible. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Ryan Morcov. Please go ahead, Mr. Morcov.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everybody to our first quarter conference call. And I guess we got started here with understanding a little bit of what the title was talking about, market sustainable or susceptible. And that's kind of where we, I would say, stand at the moment in regards to where the markets are in general. Now, this first quarter, you know, has been a good quarter, performance-wise. Of course, we have had this post-election rally that can carry on through the new year and through the first quarter of this year. And that's obviously been positive for returns and great for statements and so on. A lot of that, you know, of course, is contingent on the U.S. markets, first off, but certainly a lot on, guess, what President Trump has been continually, I guess, stating or Twittering and whatever else he does over the course of time. And so, you know, in that respect, he's talking about lower tax rates and less regulation and, you know, making America great again, all that kind of stuff, which markets have taken hold of and, you know, and driven up prices accordingly for various stocks and so on. And, you know, some of it, of course, justified, right? We've seen where, I guess, earnings have been solid through most of the sectors. You know, especially as of late, there's been a few positive reportings. And you do have some sectors that are still lagging somewhat, but certainly much of that gain through the first quarter of the year has been justified. I think where markets have been led is particularly in the U.S. is by IT or information technology and those kind of companies. And I think we see more and more of that as time goes by, where those IT companies have become a lot more diverse than just, you know, building a computer box. Obviously, they're into data storage, and yes, they still make computers, and they make smartphones and everything else, but they are very diversified, and whether it's a online shopper or whether it's, like I said, a smartphone or some kind of technology like that, it is a bigger part of our everyday lives, and that's really where the markets have been led, is by these types of companies. That healthcare has been kind of a leading component in the U.S. market as well. And again, that's based somewhat on the changes or you know, the repeal and replace concept there in the States. In the international markets, you know, it's kind of been led by the same sort of thing as IT and healthcare. In Canada, that's probably one of the markets that have been lagging here over the past year. You know, again, certain sectors have done well, again, like information technology and utilities, but energy is one that's been negative for the year to date through this first quarter after, you know, a nice little rebound probably in the previous year. Canada, I guess, you know, it is still a resource-based economy, and so certainly, you know, there's still some softness, I guess, in the overall economy. I would suggest that we've been probably become more efficient, especially when you look at the oil and gas market. You know, we haven't seen oil rebound that substantially yet and been falling back here as of late. Yet there's been hiring and more rigs going out there to drill and more guys being hired. And I think that's just more of a function of the cost structure, certainly in the oil and gas sector, that has really been, well, trimmed now for 2 years plus, and to the point now where they can, I guess, apparently be somewhat profitable even at these current prices of oil. You know, you look at different parts in Ontario, Quebec, well, they've been, again, positive lights, I guess, in the economy. BC's been one of the stronger economies, too. Some of it based on manufacturing, a lot of it based on maybe the home builders market and so on. I guess if that's one concern that's still out there, that's probably in those markets where we've seen some drastic increases in home prices, both especially Toronto and Vancouver. And, you know, was that something that can pop at some point, perhaps? You know, certainly in Vancouver it's happened a number of times, so seeing it again probably wouldn't be surprising. But I don't think that's anything at this point significant enough where it's going to be contagious to all provinces or across the nation. So, you know, at this point I think we see enough of the base economic fundamentals in Canada that sees positive growth, and certainly that will continue, but it has been a market that's lagged, I guess, in regards to investments. Europe has been positive. You know, again, that's probably a longer-term recovery from some of the issues they had in prior years. Certainly the more positive markets have been reacting a little bit to the political landscape there. Obviously, the concerns of Brexit, when that happened last year, are perhaps maybe more or less of a concern today. The initial elections here in France that kind of, I guess, turned away from the populist sort of movement was positive to the European markets and the euro itself. Other areas where I guess we're seeing opportunities is out again in the emerging markets and some of the Far East. You know, China, of course, is always a big component or a big player in the economic cycle today. But India is probably another nation where, again, I would say our managers are finding a bit more opportunity or looking to those areas for opportunity. And, you know, so that's where I think we, again, they see a lot of economic growth or future economic growth being driven from those nations and regions. On the interest rate side, we've seen, of course, the rates here rise in the States again at the end of the last year, and, of course, once again here in this past quarter in March, central bank in the U.S. raised another quarter point. And with the expectation probably of one or two more rate increases in the States here by the end of this year, I would definitely be going to see one. Might be pushing it to see two, but time will tell. Nothing has changed here in Canada. The rate increase, while they've discussed it, I don't think there's enough economic growth in the Canadian economy for them to be confident in raising rates. Now, at the end of the day, as they raise rates in the U.S., that to some degree kind of filters down through our economy in different ways. But either way, there's not going to be, or certainly we can't see at this point, any significant increase in interest rates, just from the standpoint that, again, probably not enough economic strength to you know, be confident in raising rates too fast and too far. Certainly in the U.S., they have a bit stronger economic growth, so rates, like I said, are rising. At the same time, they're also trying to shrink their balance sheet. So all the quantitative easing they had done over the last few years is slowly falling off their books, I guess, or being retracted by the central bank, which in a way is also like raising interest rates. So they got a couple of things there that they can deal with in regards to, I guess, managing how fast interest rates come back, recognizing that rates as a whole, no matter where you are, of course, are still low from a historical perspective, and certainly very positive in regards to providing economic growth. You still see, of course, negative rates in some regions in Europe, and in particular, I guess. But again, there's probably rates that are going to be slowly, or at least have found their floor, but slowly rising as, again, economic growth continues to improve across most regions. Inflation-wise, again, core inflation still seems quite muted. Probably no matter where you are, I would say a little bit in the U.S. there's perhaps more of a concern perhaps of inflation creeping up. And I would say more so, I guess, on a couple of things, I suppose politically more than anything, where, again, Trump being a kind of protectionist in regards to making America great again, and whether it's in implementing border taxes, forcing companies to make products at home, basically closing the doors to immigration and so on, all those kind of things would have certainly a bigger impact on inflation going forward, because you're restricting, obviously, the level or numbers of workforce that you have, not being able to source out the cheapest base product. If you're, again, looking to say, well, we got to source everything at home, that would be a cause of concern for inflation being a bigger part of the picture. Now, that's a lot of ifs there, because there's, again, a lot of things that Trump says, which is just what Trump says, yet in reality, how much of that can come to reality or to fruition. Currencies, just to touch on that, we've, again, seen the Canadian dollar kind of bounce back and forth, but certainly as of late been more under pressure. Again, we've seen probably the price of oil having an impact on that to some degree, as that's dropped here again through this first quarter. I would say part of that, too, is more so going back to those protectionist measures from the U.S. and trade concerns. And so if stuff like NAFTA being ripped up, or just trade in general trying to be closed off, that puts our dollar under pressure, of course, because we are a trading nation, and especially to the U.S. So that was part of what caused a bit of the drop in the Canadian dollar as of late. And, I think as time goes by, I'm sure, again, some of those trade issues will probably fall by the wayside. NAFTA certainly will be readdressed by all those nations involved. And as it should be anyways, it is a document that can be probably updated and recognizing the current marketplace that we're in, not something from 25, 30 years ago. And I think, again, minds will come to an agreement there where everyone recognizes it's best for all parties to be part of it. The euro, again, was under pressure a little bit, I guess, but again, took a little bit of a pop up here. Again, back to that French election there, where more of the centrist parties were being looked at to be elected versus the far-right populist kind of movement. But time will tell how that, again, we've got another election in Germany coming up, and depending how things turn out there, that can have an impact. And so there's a lot more geopolitical, I guess, triggers, I suppose, that are going to be impacting these currencies in different ways. And you kind of have to wait to see what those results are before, I guess, seeing and understanding what impact that's going to have. On the commodity space, generally there hasn't been a whole lot of movement in commodity prices. We look at some of the base metals, and they've been, they had rebounded in the past year a little bit. And like I said, hasn't been a whole lot of change in the current year for that. Gold, of course, has, taken a bit of a pop up, but really nothing very significant at all. So it hasn't really moved much again in this past year or two. Oil, obviously the big one that we're all kind of more focused on. And again, we've seen oil rise through the end of last year, and that was all positive for certainly for our economy. And part of that was based on OPEC cutting back their production. And I guess once the market seen them being actually sticking to those cuts was positive for the price of oil. And as we went through this first quarter and started seeing, I guess, the numbers, well, for as much as OPEC cut, we've pretty much seen the shale drillers in the U.S. essentially fill the gap with increased production. And that's, I guess, the pros and the cons of the shale market, is that those taps can be turned off and on pretty quickly. And, again, the number of rigs that are out there right now drilling in those different basins and bringing that production online. So for as much as OPEC is trying to cut and supply in the marketplace, it's been filled by other producers, and a big part of that being U.S. shale. OPEC is still looking to maintain their cuts here. The meeting again here shortly, but probably the expectation is to keep those cuts intact through the summer. And certainly they were probably hoping to see bigger cuts in the supplies of oil in the world markets, but again, that just hasn't materialized. So for the price of oil, that's it's probably something where we're not going to see much of a significant increase through this year, quite frankly. Again, hopefully getting over 50, obviously it should, but, you know, again, if we can get anywhere near to 55 or 60 by the end of the year, everyone would be quite happy. And if not, again, I think that's where you've seen a lot of producers, whether it's the service sector, whether it's the drillers and so on, everyone has gone a long ways to cut costs to be able to compete in this market environment, and they've been doing that so far. I would say, you know, on, like I said, on the outlook going forward, at this point in time, it has been certainly the growth type of companies that have been driving the market and will continue in this environment. Again, part of this is driven by political, geopolitical kind of environment or landscape, whether it's election outcomes or whether it's statements by Trump and so on. That's been the driver of the markets. The soft data that we hear out there, which is just basically surveys and stuff like that, is all very positive, which supports those markets. The hard data, which means, okay, actual numbers on paper that show either consumer spending or manufacturing numbers and so on, are a little softer. And so that's where, as we move along, there has to be more sectors, I think, of the economy that have to produce positive earnings to meet where the market is at from a pricing perspective. And right now, that's IT has been driving that, and probably justifiably so on their part. But, you know, certainly we need more parts of the economy that can function like that to justify probably where we stand. So, you know, probably the biggest thing that are going to impact that is some of those decisions made in the U.S., whether it's the, again, trade agreements, tax changes that they're looking to make, or regulatory changes. If, you know, Trump gets most of what he's trying to achieve, well, then that probably keeps markets going where they are and carry on. If not, well, then definitely there could be some repricing coming back to recognize that he won't get everything that he's hoping to get. So that's probably what we're seeing more than anything in the marketplace. And like I said, generally at this point, we've seen continued growth, which is positive. But that growth does have to catch up a little bit to where markets are at currently. So hopefully that gives everyone a better idea on where things are at. Like I said, it's probably still a market driven by the U.S. and emerging markets. Let's hope that Canada can catch up a little bit and recover a little bit of what we've lost. And other markets, whether it's Europe or Japan and the Far East, again, there's all certainly enough positive shoots in all of those that can continue on. So in the meantime, I guess if everyone has any questions, certainly feel free to call in and speak to myself, Perry, or Parker. And in the meantime, we hope you enjoy the call. And hope you enjoy this fine spring day down here in Red Deer. And we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks, and bye for now.